Let me open with prayer. Father, unto you shall the gathering of the people be, the one God of grace, reigning supreme, ruling in the heavens, ruling in the earth. Thank you for the gentle rain this morning. It's a picture of the care of God for His people, that you water the earth, you water and replenish your people, that you never fade, never in any way do you pull back, but you're the God who draws us. We ask you to do that today. We ask you to speak, Lord, and help us in the inner man to be taught and purified. I pray you give the saints grace coming. You guard them. You protect them. You keep us now. The whole day would be full of the worship of God through Christ our Savior. Amen. I remember years ago somebody saying, whether we teach or preach, whether it's to 6 or 600, we do it unto the Lord. So that's my approach now on this teaching time. This is our final session in our 6-part series on the family. And I trust by the grace of God that it's been helpful to His people. To each of you, those of you who have been in here for most of it or all of it, that each of you have been renewed and strengthened in these teachings. I've said from the get-go that I wanted to approach them very theologically as building blocks, and that each one would build on the other. So the teachings that so far have been on covenant love. I hope you've been strengthened in the reality of marriage is covenant love. That's the foundation. That's the reality. It's given of God, just like His perfect covenant love for His people. The second topic, or the second series teaching topic, was on heirs together. A husband and a wife are companions in Christ. They are the ultimate of companions, joint heirs of the grace of life. Third, biblical husbands. How a man should walk and relate to his dear wife. We talked about that. Fourth, biblical wives. How a Christian woman should walk and relate to her husband and to her family, but particularly to her husband. And last week, biblical parenting, raising our children unto the Lord by His grace, day by day, year by year. Ultimately, so then all things, your marriage, my marriage, and our homes, our families, would resound to the glory of God. It doesn't stop with us. It's not about us. Ultimately, it's about the glory of God being displayed in our relationship in husband-wife and our relationship to our children, that His glory would be evident. So for today, I would like to conclude this series with a final admonition dealing with some practical ways to impact your family. So I moved from bigger theological teachings, and I am going to be much more practical today, and this is very similar to what I covered 4 years ago in a teaching time. And I hope the practical things that most all of you are doing things like this, but I hope you can take away some new encouraging thoughts. So I've titled today, Family Togetherness, Lasting Influences. Staying together as a family. Lasting influences. I would like to personally express that this teaching in particular is a tribute of my love for Bob Jennings. And the last time I heard him speak in this earth was in the end of August at Mac's house at a prayer meeting. And he spoke to those of us gathered in the room about a number of things, the reality of dying. But towards the end, I would say the last third of his sharing was about the family, his relationship to his family. It was phenomenal. I've gone back and listened to it one time. I haven't listened to it in a few years. But as I went outside and got in my car to leave, I sent a text message to my 4 grown children that was one of the 5 most important things I've ever heard expressed in person, ever. And I haven't changed a bit. It was so good, so rich. You were there, right, brother? So in my love for God and my thankfulness for the life of Bob Jennings. Today has been seasoned with what Bob shared that day. He used the phrase about our families, our children, draw them in. Draw them in. Hold on to that thought. So yes, today I'd like to cover some things that you can do as a family, husband and wife, or if you have children, right? This doesn't mean that it has to wait until children come. But a husband and wife can do these things, and certainly the broader context is a family doing these things. That you would stay connected, that you would be bonded together through the chapters of life, and the kids going from small to, you know, elementary type age and going into the teen years. I like to refer to this as tying strings together. When you tie enough strings together, you've got a pretty strong cord or a pretty strong rope. And 4 years ago, I used that illustration. You'll look and you'll go by, you go to Lowe's or Home Depot or somebody, go look at the big rope. There'll be anywhere from 80 to 100 plus strings put together. That's pretty strong. And so the picture for us is tying strings to our families, to each other, that will be bonded, really, for the rest of our days. So what are some family activities you can implement through the years that will tie strings? I wish we had an hour at the end of this time to simply share illustrations, ways that you've learned this, ways that your parents or other Christian families you know do this, tying strings. I would like to mention or cover four of these areas that would be promptings or encouragements to you to do this, to do these, and to do it with regularity. First, reading as a family. Reading as a family. Now, I know that in the last five sessions that I've covered, that I've alluded to reading in different ways. I know it's come up, and so I want to emphasize something more specific in this one. You as a father and you as mothers, you want to make the Bible the living discourse to your family. You want it to be the air that blows in life, in your home, and in your view of things and how the children are growing up. You want it to speak to you literally and figuratively. You want it to possess you, and you want your children to hear it and be brought up with reading the Scriptures, that the Word of God would be so central to the heartbeat of the family. You read it individually, you read it as a couple, and you read it as a family. You're sharing it together. So you read the Scriptures. From the early years, the littlest of children, as they're growing up and beginning to learn to read, they can enter into this. Let it speak to your hearts, right? Let it shape things that are going on in today's society. Let it come with fresh reality. This week, just a couple of times we were looking at parables this week, trying to listen to Jesus speak about parables, and the main thing he was teaching. And it will speak to our hearts. And it will stir interaction together as a family that is so profitable and so impactful, with children grappling with questions and things that they're wanting to learn or need clarity on. Let the Word of God be the truth. You remember in Deuteronomy 6, you don't even have to turn back to this. I shared on several of these last week. But down to Deuteronomy 6, when Moses was commanding the people, God had commanded Moses that they were to teach the statutes and the commands and the works of the Almighty, what God had done for the children of Israel. And you remember the phrase out of Deuteronomy 6, teach them diligently unto thy children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, meaning when you're out and about, and then towards verse 9, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house. You see that? You see the activity here? You see the verbs? Teaching them, talking of them, sharing in them, when you sit down, when you walk, when you're in casual time together, when you're in family time together, and write them upon the post of your house. meaning let God's Word have this banner or this overarching influence and authority for the children, for the home, for the husband, for the wife. Brothers and sisters, know and love the Bible. And help your children know and love the Bible. Children, young people, know and love the Bible. It is the book of books. It is the living Word. It's the only book in all the earth that ever has living. It is God-breathed. It has not diminished at all. And so it ought to have such authority and such centrality in growing and learning. And even how children come into subjects, meaning educational subjects. We ought to always put them within the bigger reality of God and His Word. Read the Scriptures out loud together. And talk about it together. Let the children learn to ask questions. You ask questions. And let them share. Sometimes you hear the phrase, the thrashing floor. David and the men with the thrashing floor in the Old Testament. And they would thrash the wheat. You're trying to get you know, the grain out of it. So in one sense, with the family, when we talk about the Word of God, there should be digging in and trying to learn from it. I'm not talking about 1 hour family devotionals. Sometimes we get caught up in all these formulas. We're just talking about letting God's Word have centrality. Read it, love it, talk about it, and post it in your house. Now, through the years, I've seen some great illustrations of this. Some people use 4x6 index cards. Some people make kind of longer pieces of paper. They post it. They write Scripture. They have the children write Scripture. They have it posted. They put it in different places. When Jabin and Janae and Charity and Bethany were young, my children, the older ones, when they were little, I would write a Scripture every morning before I left early for work, and I would tack it into the kitchen, and they would come in there when they woke up and they'd see what passage Dad had written down. You can use all kinds of ways to post the Scriptures. Read it. Know it. Let it influence day-to-day living. The most recent technique is a dry erase marker. My dear wife started this a few months back as she was doing Scripture memory. I'd come in, she'd have another verse. I mean, we had in our bathroom, she had verse after verse after verse after verse in dry erase marker on the mirror. It comes right off. No problem, ladies. It comes right off. So here lately, I've been taking her idea, and I've been trying to take the dry erase marker, and every few days I write another phrase out of one of the great hymns of the faith. So she gets to see that when she wakes up. Beloved, just be creative. Read the Scriptures. Let the Word of God have such centrality in your home. But don't just stop with the Bible only. It is central. It is the main thing. It is, in one sense, the only thing in terms of the ultimate priority. But add to the reading of Scripture with other types of reading. Read Christian biographies. We don't have to get too carried away and get the big, big, thick ones. We can get some of the smaller, abridged versions. We can get even some that are geared to more of a children's listening. Christian biographies, great stories from history, and various books about godly people. This would be fun just to ask you dads and moms, tell me some of your favorite books, or even some of you young people. I said, you know, Esther and Mary, tell me some books y'all have read through the years. It'd be fun to converse about that, because it ought to have lasting influence. I don't quote Shakespeare or Thomas Hardy or others. I don't quote great architects and their statements. Every now and then a phrase of theirs will come up. What I like to quote and know is the Scriptures, the Word of God. And you do too, and your children do too. What a wonderful experience to read those kinds of books together. The incredible memories you have will be, I promise you, they'll be carried on. There's a great story in our family about reading through The Hiding Place and Dad trying to take the book over and me breaking down. Mom had already broken down. And some of you have heard the story, but it was a moment where it was so awesome and so emotional that when Krista was reading, she broke down. All four of the younger children were sitting there looking at Mom. I said, here, I'll keep reading. I took the book. I got about a sentence into it. I broke down. Four children watching mom and dad crying in front of them. And they're wondering, they're listening, and I said to the children while I was crying, I'm crying because I'm happy. They were trying to understand what you can imagine that moment together was special. I reflect back, we read Mack Lowndes, the George Mueller autobiography, back in about 95, 96. We read that. We read excerpts from that out of George Mueller's diary, or not journal entries, about his what God did, how God provided for the orphans. We obviously read through Pilgrim's Progress together, have some great memories of that. It could take a few months, right? We're not trying to read 50 pages a night. Maybe we get 4 pages or 5 pages. The Holy War. We read The Holy War. That was great. We read The Hiding Place. It's one of the great all-time favorites from Jesse and Michaela and Jalen and all my grown children. The Hiding Place. Was it you, Jalen, that said recently, it kind of starts slow and you kind of wonder, is this thing going to... And then it takes off. And it grips you. God's Smuggler with Brother Andrew. I'm just emphasizing, beloved, read as a family. Read, share, experience, talk. It goes back to this last week on parenting. It gives our children the legacy of God. What He's done, His acts and His deeds through history, through the Scriptures, into the history of this church. And it gives us His Word, His truth, His reality. I had a guy I used to work with years ago text me this week, asking if so-and-so got elected, would that mean God is over that? How about the presidential election? And I simply said, yes. He rules for His own purposes. He rules for judgment. He rules for mercy. He rules for His kingdom. He rules for His namesake. But the point is, He rules. We ought to think biblical. Our children ought to know these truths and know the reality of God and the legacy of God. And they continue to see that through the lives of Christians over the years. Ultimately, saints, you journey through these experiences together. And when you talk about it together, that week, the next year, 10 years from now, when you talk about it, it keeps you tied together. So tie strings of reading together. Second, singing as a family or music. Most of the time, a lot of the men in the room go, oh no, Philip's going to make me start singing in my household. Well, whoop-dee-doo, you got to learn to sing. If that's a struggle for you, then you ought to just shake off that old garment and say, I'm going to learn to sing more. Music, God-honoring, God-exalting, Jesus Christ-declaring music ought to ring in our homes. We are the people in all the earth that have something to sing about. The Christian, singing is throughout the Scriptures. They crossed through the Red Sea. God saved the children of Israel, right? They said, wow, glad that's over. Let's keep going. Hardly. Miriam and them, Moses' sister, they took up their timbrels, right? And they began to sing. They worshiped God. They declared what God had done for them. They celebrated the kindness and the greatness of God, His mercy to spare them, and deliver them, and crush their enemies. So singing as a family, this can be a long-lasting influence on children as they turn into adults. It can really be something they carry with them in a unique way. Because when I had my grandparents were elderly, particularly one of my grandmothers, we would go visit her in Arkansas at the retirement home she was in. And we would go as a family, and they had a piano kind of in their gathering room, and Krista would play the piano, and we'd sing hymns, and they would come and sit, and those elderly people knew the hymns. They grew up with them. They may not have even remembered their children's names. I'm serious. Some of their dimensions, and yet, all of a sudden, when At the Cross comes on, I mean, they hear it, they remember the hymn. Now, isn't that profound? Amazing. So singing as a family is powerful. It's lasting. It's precious. Psalm 104, I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. That sounds like forever, doesn't it? All the days of our life, We ought to sing the songs of God because they're precious to us. They declare who He is. They declare His attributes, His greatness, His redeeming love. They're a form of worship. It just permeate things, right? These are the kinds of things Bob Jay was touching on that night in Mac's house. Yes, singing hymns and God-honoring music will give life to your home. Singing hymns and God-exalting music, it does. It has an infiltration in terms of effect. It permeates things. It influences things. It calms things. The songs of God, particularly as your children know what they're hearing. They hear music that's just instrumental, and they know the verses. It's a wonderful way to make the truths of God more clear or more lasting to children. It's just another way to reinforce what the Word of God has already declared. Children generally love music. They do. Some of your families are phenomenal in your legacy of music in your own families. It's just amazing to me what you've already done, what you've already instilled in your children with instruments and music and singing and enjoying it. Think of the great songs that you get to enjoy. They'll be favorites. You should know each other's favorites because you share them so often, meaning you share in this experience. Holy, holy, holy. How great thou art. At the cross, all the way my Savior leads me. On and on and on. Great hymns that become these breezes of life and joy and truth within the family, both amongst sons and daughters, songs that they gravitate to, maybe even ask questions about. I'll tell you another fun thing to do. Go find a book that tells you the story behind the hymns. They're available. So you could, some of those hymns I just named off, go find out why the writer wrote them. And then it brings another level of depth and reality to singing. So you parents, start this while the children are young, because then it becomes a pattern as they grow up. Before Krista and I married, we were teen years, and I'd go to her parents' house. She could play the piano then, and we would sit at the piano bench. Now picture this, Philip and Krista sitting there, and we would sing some of the hymns together. And we'd laugh together, and we would share, but we had some favorite hymns. I was doing it before I was even married. I was, in a sense, for you men, I was coming out of my shell. God's worthy to be praised in song. I'm not saying I'm a great singer. I'm just saying I learned to sing the songs of God. Learned to enjoy those with my wife. And so when the children came, we had to learn how to do that as a family. The legacy here is rich, really is, very, very rich. Bethany is our daughter who's 27, will be 28 this week. But 20 years ago, roughly when she was 8 years old, she's probably most like Krista of all of them. And when I would take, each Saturday, I would take one of the girls and I would spend my morning with them. What I call dad in one-on-one time. And so we would go into town, we'd make stops, and we'd go get a little breakfast together. So we just have this dad-daughter time. It was just real special with Janae, with Charity, Bethany. But Bethany, when she was 8, loved to sing. So I had those old cassette tapes, hymns. And we'd plug those in, and she had some favorites. And that 8-year-old would let it rip. She would just sing. She would just sing. She still loves to sing. God willing, she's coming over, her and her husband, this evening. We're going to celebrate her birthday. And she'd probably blush and nod her head. She'd, oh yeah, Dad, I remember all those days. And so we would get to certain hymns on those cassettes and she would just take off. You don't think those are precious memories? It's instilling a God-centered worldview in our children. It's real. And consider this. Singing in our homes, or singing as a family, can elevate, it will elevate the place of music as God has ordained it. It takes the subject, the field, whatever you want to call it, the topic of music, and it elevates the gift of music to us, which is so contrary to the trash music within all of our society. Sometimes the reason we're turned off from music is because it's also perverted and evil, and vile. I'm talking at any level, of society. So there's some great composers and there's some great classic musics, symphonies. I understand that. I know, I understand a little bit of it. Nothing like many of you understand it. And I think those are awesome. I've always said Pachelbel's Canon in D may be the most beautiful piece that's ever been written in terms of just musical composition. Just my opinion. But the point being, music should have a high, should be viewed as a high gift from God. And we can claim music within our homes and singing and experiences like that with such a, with a noble, God-honoring principle to it. Let different family members pick the songs. Again, just, these are practical helps. These are biblical, practical type realities. The children enjoy picking hymns. And there's seasonal music too. There's seasonal music that can be for edification and for great memories, particularly the Advent hymns. You may have different ways that you view the Christmas season. Some brethren enter into it in different ways. But if we handle it properly and view it properly, those can be great times to instill the Advent hymns, the coming of Christ Jesus, and all that He came to accomplish. So enjoy those together. Yes, music in your home can bring peace and calm. It can bring a tremendous influence within our homes. Every now and then when I come home from the men's time, especially when we get into the cooler weather and it's dark, you know, I get out at the carport, and y'all know our house, I come up on the porch and I can hear the piano. And Krista's done whatever task she's needed to do, and she's just in there playing. I tell you, if I had a medical doctor, I'd say to him, I think I feel as good and as happy right now as I just generally ever feel. To get to come in and hear the songs of God. It's real. It's powerful. It's wonderful. So tie strings of singing together. Reading together. Singing together. Third, praying as a family. Praying as a family. Beloved, praying with your children allows them to see your heart. Singing does too, reading does too. But praying with our children lets them see and hear and know the heart of Dad and Mom. If it's real prayer. Because prayer is crying out to God in needy times, hurtful times, meaning desperate times, in times of joy, in times of anxiety, and God is our hope, right? And so when we pray together as a family, the children see and begin to know more of how Christians commune with God. It makes our sons and our daughters realize that God is a living, glorious, powerful, and ever-present help. He comes, He moves, He rescues, He does great things. He shows Himself strong. And all of a sudden, our children cannot deny the Almighty has moved and done this. Christ is a living Savior. He is an ever-helpful, present Savior that's with us until the end. And so prayer and what we experience together, meaning unto God in prayer, and what how it carries over to our children is very, very powerful. The realities of God, the ever gentle, caring tenderness of God. I have memories of praying as a family, Krista and I, with children, our children in prayer, crying out to God for them, with them. When I was hurting in the late 80s, when my dad left my mom, they ended up divorcing. Oh, it was hard. It was hurtful. Ugh. It was agonizing, and my children heard me pray and weep and saw things. I'm just saying that prayer as a family is, it's the living Christian life. Singing is the living Christian life. Reading is the living Christian life. But prayer is unique. Psalm 55, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and He shall hear my voice. That's Psalm 55:17. That sounds pretty comprehensive, doesn't it? He shall hear my voice evening, morning, at noon. Fridays is generally my day to get to drop off Jess at school. And Jalen, usually. And we'll be driving, you know, and we're talking about his day. And what do you have today, Jess? Okay, you need to walk in these things. And so oftentimes, almost every time, I put my hand on his knee. Jess, I'm going to pray. Okay, Dad. We're driving. His eyes are closed. Mine are open. Mine are open, Nick. I'm making that last. We're crying out to God. Lord, keep him, teach him, turn him away from things that wouldn't be profitable. You see, beloved, it's so right where we live. This means that Dad prays and Mom prays at various times during the day. That's why reading, let's go back to that one, reading teaches you how other Christians prayed with their family, with their children, with their husband or their wife, right? How they prayed together. Dad and Mom, redeem those moments of prayer. Morning, noon, through the afternoon, right? Evening. That God would hear our voice. Yes, as the day begins, when you sit down for meals, as you go to bed. Prayer. Jesse and I, Michaela, were together one evening this week. We stopped to have a little bit of dinner. We were going to pray. I reached out and I held Jesse's hand and held Michaela's hand. I'm going to tell you, on record, there's not many people that go into restaurants and a 15-year-old and a 13-year-old hold their dad's hand and they pray. You do. But the point is, you understand the testimony of God to this generation? Our God has not changed. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. They need to know that. We need to experience it. We need to declare it. It's real. Praying together. We're not grandstanding. We're not doing it for acknowledgement of others. We're doing it unto the Lord. But it's important for us to implement it. And even when you're home doing a project and you need his help, we're getting to the cool weather, God willing, coming up. And so Jesse and I cut wood and get ready to burn that wood in our wood-burning stove. So he gets excited. We go out. We get the chainsaw. We get the saws. We get the tools out. I can guarantee you, Nathan, we pray before we crank that saw up. Jesse will come over to me and I'll put my arm around him. We cry out to God. I need God to keep me. People get hurt badly. We don't need to take things for granted. I'm not trying to dramatize. It's just, we need to commit our ways unto Him and all thy ways acknowledge Him. He'll direct our paths. He'll own it. He'll keep it. He'll rule over it. I went to lunch the other day with a colleague. He's not in the faith. We were interviewing the other night for a key project. We sat down. I wanted to buy him lunch. And I said, let me pray. I just said, just pray to the Lord about the day, our preparation, and our interview coming up. So, saints, prayer as a family, interacting in prayer, teaching our children about the great God who hears prayer is important. It's important. It's paramount in the Christian living, in the Christian family, in the Christian home. And I told y'all, I can't remember which week it was, I told you about Elizabeth Elliot and hearing her speak back in the 90s at a conference. And she began to talk about her dad and her family and how he would pray and how he would pray for the family. And she's never forgotten that. Of course, now she's in glory. God took her home last year. But she talked about stories from 50 or 60 years ago about her dad praying for her. Sometimes that hits me. The things I do now, I want them to last. Don't you? I want my children and my grandchildren to be impacted. And prayer is such a great way. Men, learn the importance of gathering your family together for prayer, as Bob Jennings would say. Bring them in. This has a lasting impact on children as they grow up. They need to lay hold of these truths. They need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. They need to embrace Him as the only one Savior. They need to go to Him, run to Him, live for Him. And so they need to learn to pray and cry out to Him. They need to live in such a way that the blessing of that is overflowing on them, teaching them, drawing them with cords of love to walk with the one great Savior. Yes. Tie strings of praying together. Reading, singing, and praying together. Fourth and lastly, create special times as a family. Special times as a family. There are awesome books, stories, examples from Christians today, 20 years ago, 50 years ago, 100 years ago. Stories and realities of Christian families and what they did to have treasures of memories. Edith Schaefer, Francis Schaefer's wife, wrote on some of these things. John Piper's wife, Noelle, has written on some of these things. And there would be hosts of others. Some of you Christian women could probably tell me some resources. But special times as a family. Legacy things. Fun things. Special things. I mean, if you knew some of the funny things I do for my kids and my grandkids, you'd just shake your head. Because I'm trying to tie strings to them. The funny things I do for my little grandsons. It's real. Because I want to be connected to them. I want to love them and I want to cherish them. It's a love language. But special times as a family. This is the moment, or this was kind of the launching off point from Bob Jennings in that night, that Wednesday night in the home. What a memory. What a treasury. What an admonition he was giving. He was down to his last 30 days or something. Maybe 45 days left in his life. And he was saying, men, families, be about these things. Maximize these things. Don't view them as secondary or the things that don't count. They're all a part of training and nurturing children. They're all about leading a family in the ways of Christ Jesus, nurturing them. And so Bob was sharing, and we laughed at him, didn't we, Lee? There were some funny things he told on himself about the little scrawny tent. He said, you know, why did I always have this little tent? We all packed in it as a family. He said, just get a bigger tent. Enjoy it. Enjoy what God allows you to have together. He talked about cooking out and stuff. So he began to share, and we laughed because we could think about things we do like that. Or don't do like that. Meaning that we need to change. So Bob really stirred me and encouraged me. Saints, you men, as fathers, husbands, and you sisters as moms and as wives, create special things, memories, very distinct things that you can do. And they'll change over time because they change with ages of children. They change with activity types. But implement these with fresh faith and joy and reality. Birthdays. Just another birthday. Good grief. Bethany has a birthday this week. Guess got to do something. Charity had her birthday last week. I got to send her a note. No, not like that. Birthdays, they're a celebration of God, the giving of life. You want to know the moment that God gave me? I was out front. This was Thursday night. Charity's birthday was Friday. She's in Alabama with her husband, Jake. And Charity is our sunrise and sunset girl. She loves sunsets. So when we finally moved to the country in 95... I mean, the first week we were there, it's in the spring, the sunset, we'd find her out on the front porch. Dad, look at the sunset. And she was just beholding it. So, Thursday night, I'm finishing out front. It's getting dark. I'm mowing and doing some things. And all of a sudden, back behind the house, there's this sunset. And I just went, whoa. I had my phone with me, of all things. And I'm out close to the street, and there's this sun coming up from behind the trees behind our house. And I caught it, two or three shots. So guess what I sent Charity on Friday morning? I sent my sunset girl a birthday picture that God gave. This is what God did, right? See, the greater reality is God does it from the rising of the sun to the going down. The Lord's name is to be praised. So I sent Charity a picture of a sunset remembering her life and how much she enjoys that. You see, it was just a moment. God just gave it. But it was such a precious thing. for me and hopefully for her. Birthdays, camping. Baker and Jane Hughes, they've camped all over everywhere. My dear wife, I couldn't get her to camp anywhere. So don't y'all try to convince her to go camping. She's not going to go camping. That's okay. There's other wonderful things she and I get to do together. We've done as a family. But some families love camping. Apparently Bob Jennings and the family packed into a little tent and they enjoyed camping. I've failed so far to ask any of the grown children what that was like. But I want to hear their side of it. Cooking out. You hear what we're saying here, beloved? These are things to do to redeem togetherness, lasting traditions or lasting memories. Family trips, driving together, talking together, experiencing things together, telling stories later about it, exploring, meaning hiking or doing things like that. You know, the most significant item that all of the six children talk about through the years is their favorite memory of what we would do around the house? A trampoline. I'm sure some CEO for some big trampoline company would go, now that's my kind of guy. Trampoline. But one of our trampolines finally wore it. Bethany saved up enough money to buy another trampoline. This is like 10 years ago, 15 years ago. But the point is, when the kids were turning into teen years, so this would be the mid-90s, late 90s, we got a trampoline. We were renting a house in the country, not where we are now. And they would get mom and dad to come get on the trampoline with them. Oh, man, we've got some memories. Somebody gets in the middle and everybody else bounces them and stuff. You know, it doesn't hurt to laugh together. It's very, very good. It's good medicine. Krista said recently with little Penley, the little grandson, that she went out late on the trampoline and he bounced her. Okay, you get the picture, right? These can be very special connections, memories, joy, togetherness. Popcorn nights. I'm known as the guy who loves to cook popcorn, and boy, do I. Right, girls? I love my popcorn. Cooking popcorn, sharing. When the other kids were little, and we'd have times as a family, we'd spread out a couple of big beach towels, and I'd make this massive bowl of popcorn, and they'd all plop down and like a pack of wolves, you know, eating that popcorn. Good memories. Working puzzles. I don't usually have the patience to go that long on a puzzle, but my mom did. There's generations that did. Handwork, things that the ladies do it with their daughters, do it as a family, things that men do with their sons. Riding bikes, as we've been able to go through the years to these national parks, I try to do research, and we see that they have a bike rental shop. We've rented bikes at Yellowstone, and we've rented bikes at Yosemite. We've rented bikes at Grand Canyon, these kinds of places. Wow. What an experience to ride around the rim of the south rim of the Grand Canyon. Yeah, I've had clients go, let me see those pictures. So, beloved, these are special times, tying strings, board games. Mac's not in here anymore. But some of you have heard about the vintage trips. You got to see some funny pictures of going to Six Flags together. When his children were young and our children were younger, we'd save up money and coupons. None of us had any extra money, and we'd scrape enough together, and we'd take them by August or so. We'd take all the kids, Mac and Linda, Philip and Krista, and whatever it was, 8, 9 children between us, 10. And we'd just have a delightful time, good memories, great treasured memories. I can talk to his children about them, those memories. So be creative. Be creative in the times and seasons of your family, right? I'm not giving a formula. I'm just trying to stir us to be about a family and what it means to interact and have these great memories. When we first, in the house I'm talking about, we rented in the country back in the late 90s, we had to drive out this beautiful road to get out there. I'm going to tell you one other story of what impacted me years before it became reality. So that at that point, the children were 14, 12, 9, and 6. And we would drive, and I saw this house out in the country. And on Sundays, early evening, they would play volleyball. We'd drive, and I'd look, you know. Y'all see that out there? Yeah, Dad, we see that. It was planting a seed in my mind. Man, what a neat way to bring the older kids back. Have times together. So when we moved where we are now, I told Krista, I'm getting a volleyball net. I'm doing it. So Bethany, she was about 12, and she helped me. So if you want to go out and look at our volleyball net poles, Bethany and my initials are in that concrete. We set those poles in concrete. And we put that volleyball net up, and we have very, very special times, a few times a year where the grown kids come back, grandkids, they all come back, and we share together. Again, I'm still trying to keep tying these strings, but the volleyball net was just an iconic thing for me about loving my children, bringing them in, as Bob Jay said, bring them in. It was an inspiration to me. So men, don't let boredom or the TV or gadgets, technology, ruin your joy as a family. Don't let it. We have to be vigilant against it, don't we? It's all around us. It's everywhere. Everybody's wired in and wired up. They're wired up too much. Wireless or non-wireless. Whatever it is, people are just, they're just ruled by it. But we need to be mindful of that. We need to know how to pull away. I remember when Brian, you and Michelle got that house out there and talked about that barn and that loft out there and having times as a family. That's a great way to spend togetherness, is to go out there. So don't let boredom. Be creative. Think about things. Surprise moments. You men ought to be initiators. Of course, this carries back into the whole thing with marriage. Men ought to be initiators all the days of their life. Nick, be the initiator. Initiate love to Eric. Initiate what's ahead. Always be thinking. Always be advancing forward in faith, in love, in devotion. And with those that you're connected to, your wife, your children. The initiative will lead you to fresh ideas, and you and your wife can talk about that. Two summers ago, at the end of the summer, we didn't tell Jesse, Michaela, and Jalen. We worked out a thing to drive down to Port Aransas like a week or two before school started. And we didn't tell them. We packed all their bags, put it in the back. I went and bought some sort of, didn't I buy some sort of little belly board or something? I mean, I hid it all in the back of Chris's car. You remember this, Jay? We're driving. We're just driving, kind of driving to Fort Worth. They don't know what we're doing. Oh, maybe we're just going to go eat somewhere fun or do something. So it's somewhere in the drive. They figured out we went right past Fort Worth. We're still going. What's going on here? Y'all like to go? I don't remember how we opened it up to them. You like to go to the beach? Yeah. We're going to Port Aransas. So nobody's turning back to go get anything. Whatever we've got, that's what they've got. But the point is, It was a creative moment. Sometimes it doesn't even cost money. Sometimes it's just the preciousness of being together. I didn't even mention art projects, did I? Show you there? I held back because I like art projects. I like things that we draw and make. But Bob Jennings said it well. Bring them in, meaning bring your children to you. Know what's on their heart. Let them know what's on your heart. Be transparent. Open up to them. 9-year-olds need to know dad and mom. 13-year-olds need to know dad and mom. 17-year-olds need to know dad and mom. And I'm learning more and more all the time that 30-something-year-olds need to know dad and mom. They need us. It doesn't change in the bigger economy of God. It changes in where they are. We're not talking about strings that you throw away. We're talking about strings that tie to the rest of life. Yes, the topics get bigger, more challenging, but they're part of that connection that we have. This area of special times together can revolutionize your family. Or it can pump new joy and laughter and fun together and specialness together. And I'm not trying, I hope I haven't approached this where it feels kind of shallow or trite. I'm talking about real things, special things. Things that social people and people all wired up could listen in and go, wait a minute, I kind of like some of the things he's talking about. But it's ultimately gospel reality of walking in Christ and living to the fullness. So yes, beloved, tie strings through special times together. Let me close and then I'll open it up for sharing or comments. These are just four areas. Lee could come up here and share. Brian, I'm sure, could come up here and share some things. Tom may have some thoughts on this. David Holzlander and other, we're all different. We're all who we are in Christ, but we can redeem these kinds of things together, and we should. I said at the beginning, when I started this series, I'm not just going to jump into these areas without the laying the pillars, the foundations, covenant love, being heirs together, a biblical husband, a biblical wife, biblical parents. But these here flow out of that. They can come out of that. You don't start with these. You start with a high view of God and what it means to be married. That this covenant is for life. These four areas you can run with and have your own way of enjoying. Reading, singing, praying, finding or creating special times together. May God help you and I do this. Bob Jennings would say, beloved, be about it. Bring them in. Amen. Comments. Sharing. Now, come on. I know there's thoughts here you might want to share. I wish all my kids had been here today. But I would have broken down, right? Because these are heartfelt things. I mean, the sands of time are sinking. I don't know what I have left. That's why, brothers, redeem the days. Bob Jennings was saying, there's some things I would do differently. I left that room that day thinking, you know what? I want to listen to what Bob J. said. I want to hold on to ground. I want to increase my ground. Well, for a while. Now, at our prayer meeting, Lee, can you help? Baker had taped it, but it seems like we have an audio recording of that. I think we'll ask Jeff. I think he was there as well. He actually, of course, he left Denton and went down to San Antonio, as I remember it. And some of these things were in his last sermon that he preached to the saints in San Antonio, as I remember it. There were some commonalities of what he was touching on. Last Wednesday of August 2012, I went back and pulled my notes because it was the last Wednesday of August. The following week, I had referenced it in some preaching notes, but anyway. That's right, okay. 2.5 November, that's right. You children help with your parents and things. Be participatory, right? Be sharing ideas. Just don't hold back. Anything before I pray? Anybody have anything to share? Father, thank you for the privilege of these weeks of studying your word, talking about marriage, talking about families, children. Thank you, Lord, that you gave us marriage and families, children. Lord, that this is your topic. This is about God. It's about the Creator. This is about the one great God and Creator of all. You ordained a man not to be alone, but to have a wife, or a wife to have a husband. You ordained the gift of children. Children are a gift from God. They're from you. They're to us to train in your ways. We thank you, Lord, that this thing of being together and reading and singing and praying and sharing special memories, can be full of redeeming love. They can be full of joy in the Holy Spirit, full of life and thankfulness and living unto God. They can be, in a way, their own way, a form of worship. I pray you'd help the men, help the sisters, help the families to be encouraged. for new days, fresh days. Lord, I ask you to give grace to us to learn how to turn things off, turn away from things that are distracting, and to enjoy being together. Strengthen the marriages, strengthen the families. Cause these children, these young people, to hear things today that will impact them, that there would be means of grace that they will understand more and desire more. Lead us now in worship. Blessed be your name through our great Savior.